C4. Number 8A.
Well, this morning I was showing you the Christ vertical, and in explaining the Christ vertical, I think I have to introduce another term or another aspect in order to understand better what the translation from God to idea means and what retranslation means. Actually, we should think about three different kinds of translation when we are thinking the line of Christian Science, namely that translation of immortal mind as given on page 115 in the textbook, showing that the divine principle translates itself always to the point of individual idea. Usually we call that the first translation, just to make it quicker, instead of going through the whole text, the scientific translation of immortal mind, we just call it usually the first translation, meaning from God to idea. Then we should really consider that mortal mind tries to falsify that translation. And in falsifying it, it tries to translate the divine principle not to the point of idea, but to the point of illusions, to the point of material sense. Just think of that statement where Mrs. Eddy says the material senses and human conceptions would translate spiritual ideas into material beliefs. See, this is a false sense of translation. And actually all that was what is going on under the term Antichrist is really that false translation that states, like in animal magnetism, that states that the divine idea can be evil, that it can mistranslate itself and appear as evil, that God acts through matter, through disease, through death, through evil, and that God needs matter to manifest itself, needs evil to manifest itself. You know, that whole wrong sense of theodicy is all that. It's a false translation. In other words, why do we have a universe of discord? Not because discord exists per se. Discord has no identity and per se. Discord is not an entity. Discord is a mistranslated sense of the Christ translation, of that first translation. We have a universe of discord because we misinterpret the divine idea. Therefore, we translate the divine idea somehow into human beliefs, in material beliefs, instead of leaving the ideas in the realm of ideas. So that's another kind of translation. Then we have the scientific translation of mortal mind. And that scientific translation of mortal mind is depicted also in the textbook on page 115 as the what we usually call the second translation, which is what? Which is actually a retranslation. And this is the point why the question has come up again. Is the retranslation therefore a correction of the first translation? Naturally, no. The first translation is right, it's from principle to idea, but then mortal mind wants to falsify that and translates wrongly. It translates the spiritual ideas, but wrongly, and therefore into material beliefs. And therefore that translation of mortal mind corrects this false translation. Therefore, in that translation of mortal mind, it starts out with depravity and retranslates depravity back into the right concept. In the third degree of understanding of reality, where mortal mind disappears and the idea appears in its fullness. So when we talk about retranslation, then we mean that it is a correction of that false translation. If you read miscellaneous writings, that article of on cause and effect, you have it there, that she gives those two big statements about translation, that Christian Science translates mind, God, to mortals. It translates itself to the point where we can perceive it, to the point of understanding. But then on the next page, she gives the retranslation. She says that Christian Science translates matter back into mind. That's the retranslation, namely to correct a false translation and translate it back into the correct statement. So we have to see these various aspects of the term translation and begin to realize, because matter, mortal mind, any belief, therefore the whole gamut of error, is a false translation. It's not something per se, not an identity, not an entity. It's only a false conception, a false interpretation of that which is real. Therefore, the retranslation is correcting this mistaken sense and bringing it back to the original sense that is real. What the Christ does in this Christ vertical, which we have been considering this morning, is actually showing that the power of the true translation from God to idea is the power that can retranslate any false translation. And therefore, that translation of mortal mind shows the retranslation, the translating back of depravity, the first degree, back to the third degree of understanding. Christian Science translates depravity back into reality. So if we understand this, we understand now perhaps better what we were showing in the Christ translation, the Christ column, through the four chapters. Let's just take it as translation and retranslation. Can you see what translation, from principle to idea, would always show us the vertical tone? From principle to idea, this is an absolute sense. When it touches the human, it must therefore correct a mistranslation, whatever the mistranslation is, and retranslate a wrong sense back into the true. Therefore, we could easily state all those four chapters, chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, in terms of translation and retranslation. The chapter Christ as the Word, which is animal magnetism, we could easily see what happens there. That if we see the true Christ, that it retranslates the belief of an antichrist. Or in other terms, we could see that the Christ, vertically, that comes from principle to idea, as the only Christ power, retranslates back what? The belief that mortal mind has power back into its nothingness. So as to see that mind is the only power. Let's take the sixth chapter, here we see that the Christ translates what? It translates again the divine principle to the point of manifesting itself as the seven synonymous terms, and thereby retranslating the belief in the false constituents of being, retranslating mortal mind into mind, retranslating matter into spirit, retranslating physical sense testimony into soul, retranslating human beliefs into principle, retranslating a dead sense of life and of religion into a living, practical life religion, retranslating the belief that there is healing power in a remedy, like in the chapter on medicine, back into the remedy of truth. And so you see, here we have the true translation from principle making itself known as the ideas of mind, the ideas of spirit, the ideas of soul, having the impact to retranslate the false system of reference, the false constituents of being into the true. Or if we take the seventh chapter, Christ as Christianity, we begin to realize that if we stay with the Christ translation, just look out from the divine principle and only look at idea, that very thing would show as the outcome, not the mortal, but the immortal idea of man, and so would retranslate fallen man back into the true idea man. It retranslates the belief in an immortal back to the fact of retranslate the belief of a mortal back into the idea of an immortal. That's physiology. That's the outcome. Finally, in the eighth, Christ as science, we begin to see that the Christ translation comes to consciousness, to our way of understanding things, and therefore retranslates a false consciousness back into a true consciousness. Again, at that point we can see there never existed a false consciousness. False consciousness is not an entity side by side with a true consciousness. A false consciousness is only a misunderstanding of the true consciousness, and therefore the more the true consciousness is strengthened, is vitalized, is reactivated, in that measure, naturally, we are no more thinking along a false consciousness, and so we feel that we are going through a retranslation. I think that's something, perhaps at this point of Christ as science, is perhaps that what you have experienced last week and this week perhaps most, namely a complete change of consciousness and a restructuring of consciousness, that suddenly you feel that you are the very consciousness of the seven synonymous term, that you are not the consciousness about the seven synonymous term, not the consciousness about evil, about something that is next to God, but that you are actually the very consciousness of the seven synonymous terms. So that in a way one feels very much that through those last week and beginning of this week, you feel that you are, so to say, building up a wall of defense against the whole universe, where you feel every attack against our harmony is an attack against the seven synonymous term, and that attack falls by itself because it cannot penetrate the seven synonymous terms. They are so strong, they constitute so much our identity, that they just fall by the wayside. But this is really the point of Christ as science. You have touched the Christ science, you have touched, so to say, the Christ consciousness in a scientific way. You see also, when we go over these four chapters, that each chapter, so to say, attacks a specific target in Christ as the Word. The target is actually to see that mortal mind is nothing. That's animal magnetism that wants to say mortal mind is something. So the target there is mostly mortal mind. In the Christ as Christ, the target is mostly that matter, that the constituents of being is matter. And so tries to show the unreality of matter by building up the spiritual constituents of being. When we come to physiology, the target is no more mortal mind and no more matter, it is body. Physiology is naturally the form of a body. And it seems as if everything turns around body, so that the target is here to retranslate the false concept of body back into the true identity of man, the true body. I don't like to call it the true body, because body at once gives a sense of a material structure, of a physiological structure, and Mrs. Eddy uses only once body in a positive way in the textbook, in the last chapter. Eat the body of this principle. In early edition, she used body very often in a positive way, and mainly also Kimball, and that was really the point where while he was so much misunderstood, that he was talking about the body, meant the body of principle, and the students understood under the body of principle that we have a body, and that body is not the same body as the body of the non-Christian scientist, because our body then is the body of principle. See, and so using these terms is very, very dangerous. So let's see that we can use here that at the point of physiology, really the target is the body, and retranslates body into spiritual identity of man. In the Christ as science, the target seems to be consciousness. And so the consciousness is under a revolution and under the exchanging and overturning and overturning until the unscientific consciousness is leavened and leavened until it has a scientific consciousness, a divine consciousness. So here the Christ would, to recapitulate it, first, Christ as the word attack, mortal mind, Christ as Christ, matter, Christ as Christianity, body, Christ as science, consciousness, mortal consciousness. Yes. See, in this way, somehow we get a clearer overall view of the whole teaching of the textbook. We just can reduce and reduce it to the main themes. Yes. So, students always laugh when I say yes, but before I start, said afterwards. What do you say? Well, I say yes. If just as a period, and say now I go on to another subject. All right. So we go to Christianity, and we try to reason out the point of intersection within the matrix on Christianity, and we flow again by keeping first the main pedal note, which is the vertical of Christianity, which is actually Christianity, just to get away from the ordinary sense of Christianity, which has to do with a lot of people fighting each other and trying to convert each other and making war on it. It's the Christianity, the realm of the Christ, the realm of ideas. So if we take the realm of ideas, we go out now and just have our whole consciousness fixed just on the point of idea. Can you do that? You see, we are no more fixed in the word on God, on the divine principle of being. We are not asking anything, so to say, direct about God, which is the word. And we are not even going to direct our consciousness primarily on the Christ, which says, how does God operate as the idea of God? Now we contemplate the outcome of that Christ translation and see that that Christ translation brings about only the manifestation of ideas, And now we say, what is the realm of ideas? In the world, Christianity as the word, is always here the proposition, the statement, the presupposition, which would tell us something about the presupposition of the realm of ideas, and would say, you see, what you have to deal with a realm, a creation of ideas, not with a creation of matter, not with the creation of people. Your universe is an ideational universe. So we have here a completely different universe. Perhaps we could epitomize it and say ideas constitute creation. Then we would have stated our proposition from which we go out. So you could write in there, perhaps ideas constitute creation. Yeah. This is our starting point in Christianity, that we say we have not to deal with a universe of matter, of objects, of things, a universe of people and peopleianity, but Christianity, ideaianity. I guess my vocabulary gets bigger and bigger that Sandy makes about my capitalism or Marxisms. Huh? Yeah. Yes, we get away here, you see, from peopleianity, because now it is ideaianity. Huh? Just that very consciousness which you try to entertain yesterday evening, where you see that all what you see, if you are the synonymous term and you look as the synonymous term out into the world, you only see ideas of mind and spirit and soul and principle, life and truth going on, constituting now our universe, and nothing else exists. So we would have to state here, through the seventh synonymous term, the nature of creation, the nature of our universe, the realm of ideas. If we do that, then we can make the next step. You see, it is as if it were now first a statement, a presentation, but the Christ is movement. We have Christianity as the Christ, and Christ, what did we say is here? The horizontal is the manifestation in spite of its opposite. Well, what do we get? If our pedal note is idea, then we see ideas have a Christ. Therefore, ideas have a Christ. What do they do? Idea manifest themselves as idea, and therefore dissolve illusions. That's Christianity as the Christ. Where we now see ideas have a Christ. Do we see this point? You know, as long as one has a religious sense, one is constantly feeling, yes, God has a Christ. Yes, Jesus was the Christ. Yes, Jesus was showing the Christ power. And with that Christ power, one just always had a sense, it is God's power expressing itself, manifesting itself to man. But it was God's Christ. Can you see how wonderful it is if we have a matrix? Because a matrix would have shown the Christian scientists long ago that they should think a lot about an idea having a Christ. That each individual idea has a Christ, has the Christ power in itself. Not just God. Naturally, an idea is backed up by God. That's quite true. But it's quite big to see that whenever we have touched an idea, that we have not just an idea of creation and say, now I have seen, instead of a material sense of creation, an ideational sense of creation, that would be the Christianity as the word. But when we see it, Christianity as the Christ, we would see, oh, the moment I touch an idea, that idea begins to operate. The idea begins to operate. It has a Christ. begins to manifest itself, and naturally begins to manifest itself in spite of a counterfeit. Ideas dissolving illusions. So, in here, in this box, we could perhaps write, instead of just writing that the ideas have a Christ, which would be also quite a good epitome, ideas have a Christ, we could perhaps say ideas are dynamic. Then we know that they operate. And perhaps we get here the dynamics of ideas. The operative sense of ideas. But on that little island where we have so much time to think and to do nothing but to think, we would think and think and think, and suddenly we would think it within ourselves, ideas have dynamics. In which way? I think we would say, well, ideas have a dynamics to bring out always new ideas, and therefore establish the true idea, and therefore show that ideas dissolve illusions. But we would perhaps also see further than that and see that these ideas, because they operate by themselves, that they will destroy in actual experience all that which is unlike ideas. In other words, we would see that ideas operate in the mental realm and in the physical realm. Not only as ideas giving us new ideas, but actually ideas that actually go to the material proposition and to tangible error and resolve that error. Because that would be then the manifestation of the idea even in the human, even in the material.